to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show on this Monday morning, the 5th of October 2020. Andrew Maid's with you for the next half an hour as we run you through the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's start with the footy world. After a dramatic weekend of finals, Trent Cotchin's getting ready for next week. Will Tom Lynch be there or not for the Tigers?
You know, from my understanding, he's training really well, and I think it's just a matter of ticking off the main session this week and he'll be available to play, which is really exciting for our group.
Overnight, big news in the racing world with Enable going down at the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe overnight with Softsass, an upset win at $7.80.
The gold trip and the noseband and Softsass between them. In swoop, it's close up. Enable tried, but she's not going to get there. It is Softsass in front. Christian de Vera now from In swoop in second place. It's getting closer all the time, but Softsass has won it. In swoop with second. Persian King, a mighty run in third.
Enable finishing in sixth. It might be the last we see of one of the greatest of recent times. Meanwhile, in the NRL world, well, South Sydney did well yesterday, putting all the dramas of the Sam Burgess saga aside and getting the job done in their elimination final against the Newcastle Knights.
Nobody there at marker. Cook has Murray going with him. Murray will win the race and the Rabbitohs have the lead.
So much to get through on a really busy Monday of racing and sport. Let's get stuck right in.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
After six this morning, the Breakfast Club returns with Half, Whitey and Rama. Can't wait to hear their summation of what was a huge weekend of footy. Jimmy Bartel will join the guys after 7 o'clock this morning to run through it all. We'll get a Melbourne Storm perspective after they were way too good on the weekend. Felice Kafusi to join us after eight this morning. Suncorp Super Netball is Watson from the Melbourne Vixens too. And then early on, we'll head to Craig Gabriel and try and get your winner on the early mail. So a lot to come on the Breakfast Club. Don't forget, after 8.30 today, Michael Felgate with all the news makers in the world of racing. And then after 9 o'clock this morning, looking forward to another big edition of The Verdict with Matt Stewart and Mick Sharkey. After 10.30, Gareth Hall with RSN Central. We'll have a huge Monday show, as usual, all the footy reaction with Glenn McFarlane and Brendan Goddard. And as always on a Monday, looking forward to Gators' review of the weekend. So much to get through on a very busy Monday. Let's get stuck into the Breakfast Bite. We might start with a bit of the reaction in the footy world so far. We'll head to the Tiger camp first of all with Trent Cotchin lamenting the lack of discipline that might have cost them any chance of victory on Friday night against the Lions.
You know, clearly we were a little bit disappointed with the way we performed across the four quarters on Friday night. But full credit to Brisbane. You know, they've been an incredible team for a couple of years. You know, they've played some really good footy this year, particularly at the Gabba, and they really took it to us. So challenge for us is to get back on the horse and bounce back, and it starts today with our training session, which is always a good thing after a loss. Yeah, look, I think, you know, there's no hiding away from the fact that they kicked a few goals from free kicks, some just part of the game, but the 50-metre penalties, I think they kicked three maybe from 50-metre penalties. So whilst, you know, they're the things that are probably in our control that do determine, you know, a scoreboard in a sense. So, you know, we'll look at them. The boys know that there's some things that we want to play to the edge with regards to our toughness and what we bring to the contest, but there's also some things that we can control and want to eradicate those out of our game.
Trent Cotchin there speaking yesterday. More from the Tigers skipper a little later in the show. The Tigers, of course, to play the Saints at Metricon this weekend. Seb Ross speaking yesterday on a couple of big losses. First of all, Paddy Ryder doesn't look like he'll line up for the Saints.
He's going to be a pretty big loss. You saw the influence he had on the game last night. So for him to go down with a hammy, he's been in and out of the side throughout the year just because we've had to manage him. More so because of his age, but when he's come in, he's played a massive role for us and given us mids some real first use around stoppage. So he'll be a big loss for us, but he didn't play against Richmond earlier in the year, and Roe Marshall did a great job in that day in the ruck, so we'll expect that to happen again.
Let's stay with Seb Ross. Another big loss for the Saints. Jake Carlisle, who won't be there.
With Jake, he's got a pretty big decision to make, I think, on the back of winning last night and feeling, having that feeling of what winning a final feels like. It's going to make his decision really hard. But his wife, Mel, is due next week. So, like, if he chooses to go home and be there for the birth of his third child, then that's absolutely understandable, and we'll back him in.
Channel 7 reporting he's off this morning, so he will leave the Queensland hub a little later on this Monday morning. More bad news for the Saints. Three big outs for this weekend, as yesterday Ben Long was charged with engaging in rough conduct against Jack McRae of the Western Bulldogs in the first quarter of their clash for the high bump. In summary, he can accept a one-match sanction with an early guilty plea based on the evidence available. Michael Christian assessed the incident as careless conduct, medium impact and high contact. So that comes back as 1 week for Ben Long. So three big outs there for St Kilda. They are looking like the walking wounded heading towards their semi-final. More footy to come a little later in the show. We'll get a bit of Western Bulldogs reaction from Marcus Bontempelli, and we'll find out on how Joel Selwood's tracking with that injured finger as well. As you heard, off the top of the show, big upset last night in the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe as Sotsas for Christian Jumuro on board was able to win at $7.80, upsetting two of the big guns in Stradivarius and Enable. Unfortunately for Frankie Dettori and John Gosden, it wasn't a farewell, or fantasy farewell, with a win there over in France. Let's have a listen to the winning jockey, first of all, Christian Jumuro, who was on board Sotsas.
Amazing, amazing. Just the word is amazing. The super horse and fantastic day for him. He was a wake up Tuesday morning, so I say it's the day Sunday. It will be good, and he responds very good today, and he make a good job like last year.
Tell us about his acceleration.
He have a good turn of foot. This year he was every time cool, and last time when he have a good race in Ireland, he wake up, and so today he was 100% ready, and he have a good turn of foot, and he's a champion horse.
And now you are an arc-winning jockey.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
For me, this year it was an amazing year. I lost my father, so I think it will be a good present for him. I'm very surprised today, but he's amazing.
Well, I think he's looking from above. Congratulations, and our thoughts with all the Dimora family.
Great story there last night as, unfortunately for Enable fans, the great mare getting rolled at $2.30. Let's hear from Frankie Dettori. Is this the last ever time he'll jump on board one of the greatest?
Frankie, she has nothing in defeat. What a great champion.
Yeah, you know, it could be sad that it could be my last time on her. But, you know, she hated that ground. I knew my fate at the 400. You know, she's a queen in my heart anyway.
She's a queen in all of our hearts. Thank you, Frankie.
There we go, the reaction after the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe overnight. Let's head to the NRL now, where South Sydney, yes, they absolutely smashed Newcastle, 46 points to 20 in a demolition job in their elimination final. So a wonderful result for them. And they had to put a lot of the off-field controversy aside, considering the last couple of days in the NRL world has been absolutely dominated by the Sam Burgess story, which is more incredible the more you read about it. Let's hear from Wayne Bennett, who spoke about Sam Burgess and that situation and whether it was a distraction yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think looking across the weekend's football, I think all the teams that won come from behind. I think most of them were scored on early or whatever, so ours was no exception, but it was nice to see that we had the quality to do that.
Do you need to send a message down? It was 14-0. Do you need to send a message down, or do you know that?
No, you're sending prayers down at 14-0 in the semi-final.
Red wine.
Whatever.
One had been a difficult week for obvious reasons, but clearly the boys managed to...
Well, you guys don't listen. That's what probably annoys me more than anything else. You know, I said 2 days ago that had no impact on the team. Wasn't going to have an impact on the team. Still has, it won't.
It's hard to ignore the headlines. I mean, they're on everyone's face.
I'm just telling you, I coach the team. I know what's going on in the organisation. and was never going to have an impact on the team.
Wayne Bennett there speaking yesterday. More on that story, I'm sure, through the week. Let's take a break on the Breakfast Club, the Breakfast Bite, rather. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on all the latest from overseas. Overnight, Lucas Herbert came from absolutely nowhere to just fall short at the Scottish Open. Super netball from yesterday, rugby in the build-up to the Bledisloe Cup, and a massive result in the EPL overnight. Manchester United humiliated by Tottenham. That on the other side of this.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Harry Kane wallops Manchester United for six. It is a scoreline which will resonate throughout England, Europe, the world.
Certainly did in this household. Manchester United 6-1 losers to Tottenham at home at Old Trafford. Probably lucky there's no fans there at the moment, because they would not be happy in Stretford, that's for sure. Arsenal 2-1 over Sheffield United in the other result, and earlier last night, Wolves over Fulham 1-0. So they get their season back on track, and Fulham, unfortunately, have had a disastrous start to the year themselves. But the big news overnight, Tottenham 6, Manchester United 1. Let's head to the French Open now, where Rafael Nadal did it again.
It will be a record 14th quarterfinal at Roland Garros for Rafael Nadal.
What an extraordinary performance again. 6-1, 6-1, 6-2. As you heard, he's through to the quarterfinals. Other winners from overnight, Dominic Thiem through in five sets against Gaston. So a little bit of a tough match for him, but he does get through. Diego Schwartzman won in straight sets. And the big casualty, Alexander Zverev, out to Jannik Sinner, 6-3, 6-3, 4-6, 6-3. So the number 6 seed, Alex Zverev, is out of the French Open overnight. Meanwhile, on the women's side of things, the number 1 seed is gone. Simona Halep in an upset. Swiatek winning 6-1, 6-2. Svitolina, the number 3 seed, got through 6-1, 6-1. And Kiki Bertens also a high-profile casualty. The number 5 seed going down to Trevisan, 6-4, 6-4. So those are the results from overnight. Plenty more dissection from Craig Gabriel with the Breakfast Club boys a little later after 6 o'clock this morning. Let's head to the netball yesterday, where it was an important win for the West Coast Fever in their final against the New South Wales Swifts.
The umpire on Bruce. Foul up like that range. This would really lift the Fever off the hand of Teague. It's a super shot. A super shot to the Fever. And all of a sudden, a blink of an eye, the scoreline back to 4.
67-62, the Fever over the Swifts yesterday. So they go through to the preliminary final against the Sunshine Coast Lightning, who went down to the Melbourne Vixens, who booked their grand final spot on Saturday, 63-47. So that is the lay of the land in Suncorp Super Netball approaching the last couple of weekends. Let's head to the golf from overnight. Jeez, this was close for Lucas Herbert. Made me stay up a lot later than I'd intended on a Sunday night. He absolutely lit up the course on the opening 9 holes of his final round, shared the lead at one stage, and actually just finished in fourth position, a couple of shots short of Rye and Tommy Fleetwood, who went to a playoff. Now, on the fifth playoff hole, Tommy Fleetwood just had a 3-footer to take it to another hole, and this is what happened.
It's hard to believe that it's Ellen's title. First at the Perth of fourth. And a little part of this enchanting links land tonight belongs to the new Scottish champion.
So just to give you a bit of perspective about how much Lucas Herbert was lighting it up early there on the European Tour, he was able to basically recover from what was a really poor Saturday and get his way back to a share of the lead. He was 4-under through the opening 8 holes, and unfortunately couldn't do much more from then on. We'll all be keeping a close eye on the Sanderson Farms Championship this morning on the PGA Tour, because Cameron Davis has a share for the lead with Sergio Garcia. The Australian tees off in about 10 minutes' time at 14 under the card. So good luck to Cameron Davis. He is at the pointy end, at the right end of that tournament over in the US. So can't wait to follow that through the morning. Could be a huge morning in Australian golf. Let's head to the cricketing world now, just to update you on the IPL from overnight. Man, we know pretty well. Shane Watson picking up player of the match for the Chennai Super Kings as they chase down their target of 179 with a couple of overs, or in fact, 14 balls spare. Kings 11 Punjab made 4 for 178 from their 10 overs. Glenn Maxwell came in for 7 balls at the end, not out, 11 from 7. And in reply, Shane Watson, 83 not out from 53 deliveries, including 11 fours and 3 sixes to guide home a pretty sore and sorry Kings 11, to smash a pretty sore and sorry Kings 11 Punjab. So the Chennai Super Kings there with an easy 10-wicket victory. Watto carrying his bat the whole way through, and he continues to deliver, even at the age of 39. Let's hear from Rachel Haynes, who spoke ahead of Australia's next one-day international against the Kiwi women, and how the COVID break has actually helped her.
Yeah, I had a really strong pre-season back in Sydney with New South Wales, and it was tough, but I enjoyed it. And yeah, it's probably the first solid training block that I've had in quite a while now. Yeah, certainly my body's going really well. I think the training block really helped just to help me get a little bit physically stronger and in better shape. I'm certainly in the best shape that I've ever been in my career, so that was really nice.
Good news there for the Australians. Looking forward to the next couple of ODIs. Let's head to the rugby world now. Build up to the Bledisloe Cup. James Slipper here speaking on the underdog tag against the Kiwis.
Yeah, we probably deserve to be underdogs, aren't we? Because we haven't won it for so long, and deservedly so. But, one thing I can tell you, mate, we're training hard to change that. As I said, mate, it comes down that first test match to see where we are. We've been training hard. We've been preparing well. And at the end of the day, mate, it comes down to results, doesn't it? So we don't really have a leg to stand on talking in terms of results for the last, 15 years. So for us as a playing group under a new coach, we've just been trying to make sure that we're good to go.
In case you missed the NRL result yesterday, the Rabbitohs 46, the Knights 20. They go through to next weekend. Meanwhile, well done to the Melbourne Storm yet again, 36-24, reversing their fortunes against the Eels from earlier in the year to book their place in another preliminary final under Craig Bellamy. Let's head back to the footy world. Two matches this week to come. Richmond and St Kilda on Friday night. The Geelong host Collingwood on Saturday night. Richmond chose to be at Metricon for this match. Trent Cotchin yesterday explained why.
I don't know. You have to ask someone who made the decision. No, I don't know. I suppose at the end of the day, it's closer to where we are right now. We've played quite a few games there this year. And to be honest with you, I haven't really had a conversation about why or how. But we feel like it's our home away from home. And we're looking forward to getting back there on Friday night.
Let's hear what he had to say about taking on the Saints as well, who will be full of confidence after a good win on the weekend.
Yeah, well, the reality is we need to perform well this Friday night against the Saints. Otherwise, the rest doesn't really matter. But to be fair, I think, living in hub life, just as I said, getting back into routine today and building into Friday night is probably a good opportunity. I know that our situation up here in the sunshine is better than what it seems to be in Melbourne. But sitting around doing not a lot over a few days can also be a challenge as well. So we're excited about, getting back to Metricon on Friday night against the Saints, who have been really impressive across season 2020. They really took it to us earlier in the season. I know that both teams are probably in different situations towards the back part of the year, but they were really impressive. Their contest stuff's great to watch from an opposing point of view, but we're really excited about the challenge. Both teams have been in really good form. Obviously we were disappointed with our performance on Friday night, and we get an opportunity to rectify that against a great team that look really hungry, and we'll be bringing the same attitude.
Let's head to the Cats and the Pies on Saturday night. This one to start at 7:40 p.m. Mitch Duncan now on Joel Selwood, who has had a finger issue after last week's game?
I'm not 100% sure. He had surgery yesterday on his finger, so he ended up staying in overnight, so we haven't touched base with him yet, but I'm sure he'll be fine. So, yeah, I haven't done it, so I can't really tell, but obviously you use your hands a fair bit. You know, he's been through a lot in his time. He's obviously a great player and a really important player for us, but I'm sure he'll do everything right to be ready to play.
Let's head to Nathan Buckley now on Brody Grundy's role after he sat on the bench for a couple of key set of bounces at the end of Saturday night's game.
Darcy Cameron, his contest in the ruck is good. He's a natural ruckman. I mean, we've played him forward a few times as a second ruck. I just thought that the balance was right to share the load amongst those two boys and try and keep keep the heat on a player who is an All-Australian ruckman this year for a reason. No, he's fully fit. I've heard that. But no, Broads is fully fit, has been all year. He's cherry ripe to attack next week and whatever's beyond that.
Nathan Buckley there speaking yesterday. So a big win for the Pies, and they booked their place against the Cats on Saturday night. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Looking forward to a huge Monday as well of dissection on the Breakfast Club Racing Pulse and RSN Central. The best place to be is RSN for your Monday morning. Can't wait for a big morning of review. The Breakfast Club up next. Half Whitey and Rabbit to take you through the morning.